From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Blanc.
And I'm Guy Raz. This week, we've been exploring the history of Afghanistan and how it informs current U.S. efforts there. In the wake of the September 11th attacks, the U.S. had little trouble ousting the Taliban from power. Within weeks, many Taliban and al-Qaeda militants had fled the country. But 9 years later, the Taliban are back and making gains. Today, NPR's Jackie Northam examines what went wrong with earlier U.S. efforts and why many Afghans doubt the current strategy.
When U.S. warplanes, special forces, and their Afghan allies routed the Taliban, Afghanistan was a much different place than it is today. The country had been devastated by decades of war, and the U.S. presence was virtually non-existent. Not anymore.
I'm standing here at probably one of the busiest traffic circles in all of Kabul. This marks the entrance to the U.S. Embassy area. You have to go through many checkpoints to get actually to the front doors of the embassy. And throughout the day and night, you see convoys of armored cars coming in and out of the embassy itself.
Across the road, a large construction project is underway as the embassy expands. Retired General Carl Eikenberry served two tours in Afghanistan. Now, as the U.S. ambassador in Kabul, he's overseeing the American civilian surge.
Late 2008, the United States Embassy, our mission here in Afghanistan, comprised of about 320 civilians, and a majority of those were in Kabul. Now, about 2 years later, we have 1,100 civilians, still increasing.
Now the military side of the equation is in the hands of General David Petraeus, who formally took command of all U.S. and NATO troops at a ceremony in Kabul last July.
This is a tough mission. There is nothing easy about it. But working together, we can achieve progress and we can achieve our mutual objectives.
The Obama administration's decision to send in more troops and civilian advisors was like hitting a reset button. But many Afghans see it as just more the same. Masoud Fadavar, the general manager of Salam Watandur, a national radio network, has been tracking how Afghans view the civilian and military efforts here.
I think as a desperate measure by the West, as a final desperate measure to win the war, I don't think a lot of people have faith in this strategy, but the jury's out.
Fadavar says Afghans base their opinions on the performance of the U.S. since 2001. He believes the U.S. made a fundamental mistake early on by getting its priorities wrong.
The West came into Afghanistan under the mantra of freedom is on the march and elections are the cure-all for all the problems, without realizing that the last thing Afghans needed at the time was elections, and the first thing Afghans needed at the time was security.
There have been four elections in Afghanistan since 2001, each one marred by widespread allegations of fraud. Analysts say the flawed votes have eroded Afghans' faith in democracy. There were also missteps on the military front as well, says General Zahir Azimi, the Afghan Defense Ministry spokesman. He says one of those came early on, when the U.S. believed it had already achieved victory. There was a perception that the Taliban fighters were defeated, but they weren't, says Azimi. They just hid their weapons and fled across the border to Pakistan. And the Pakistani government supported them, he says, even though it had become a strategic ally of America. Azimi says when the Taliban began to come back and launch guerrilla attacks using bases on Pakistani soil, the U.S. was ill-prepared because it had shifted its attention elsewhere.
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
In March 2003, the U.S. invaded Iraq. Ashraf Ghani, now an advisor to President Hamid Karzai, says the war in Iraq soaked up most of the resources, focus, and support, leaving little for Afghanistan.
They went to Iraq and wanted not to hear a word about Afghanistan. There was structural deafness from 2003 to end of 2008 in Washington about the war with Afghanistan. Things looked so good in comparison to Iraq that nobody was really looking at how fundamentally it was becoming destabilized.
Afghanistan became known as the Forgotten War. U.S. operations there continued, but with no clear or coherent strategy, says Azimi, the defense ministry spokesman. It was also underfunded, he says, which had long-term consequences.
If 25% of the money which was spent in 2009, if this money was spent between 2001 and 2004, we would not see the current situation.
Azimi says the shift in focus had other serious consequences.
The resistance against American forces in Iraq, it gave a kind of morale to the Afghan insurgents that they thought it's possible to fight the American forces.
As security continued to deteriorate, there were appeals for more resources from American diplomats and military commanders in Kabul. But for the most part, these went unheeded. Ambassador Eikenberry says it's tempting to wonder how it could have been different if there had been more support back then.
Having served in this country for so long, I do look back at times and ask the question, had we done things differently, had we put more on the ground, would we be where we are right now? And maybe I can write about that one day, but for now, it's time to take the rearview mirror off.
Eikenberry says now there are plenty of U.S. and NATO resources, and Afghanistan is no longer the forgotten war. On any given night, the few restaurants in Kabul are crammed with Western aid workers, contractors, and others involved in the effort to help rebuild and develop Afghanistan. And at the highest level of the Obama administration, there is constant focus on Afghanistan. Politician Abdullah Abdullah says this can sometimes make it difficult to know who is in charge.
The engagement is so large and the players are too many. When you speak clearly and candidly, you don't know. You're not sure how it will end up in different ends.
Amrullah Saleh, the former Afghan intelligence chief, says U.S. goals remain the same as they were 9 years ago.
Defeat al-Qaeda, make the Taliban irrelevant so they are not able to undermine the state. Help the Afghan government build a viable state which can stand on its own feet.
Saleh says those objectives still seem a long way away. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
This is NPR.